Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. We are exploring the mystical side of life once again this week. If you enjoy our conversations, make sure you subscribe, share it with a friend. Today, we are talking dreams with a psychotherapist and dream expert, Linda Schiller. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you. Good morning.
I find the dream world so interesting and so inspiring. I interpret my own dreams. I can't wait to dive into this subject with you.
As a kid, I was always interested in, actually, that your radio show title is Purpose is perfect. It's sort of the mystical side of life. So I was interested in the spiritual world and connecting with departed relatives, and friends and I would, you know, have seances together. And so I was always very, very interested in the spiritual end of things. And I had a few dreams as a kid that I remember still, you know, as an adult. But I wasn't that connected with dreams per se. It wasn't until my adult life that I literally was invited synchronistically to join a dream circle. And a dream circle is simply a group of people who get together for the purpose of working on and understanding their dreams together.
It's so interesting that you remember some dreams from your childhood. Were they like premonition dreams, or they must have had some meaning for you that you still remember them?
The dreams that have a big impact on us, whether they're from childhood or adulthood, are the ones that have a large emotional resonance. So when we have a dream that has a large emotional content, we're more apt to remember it. And sometimes it's something lovely and beautiful or spiritual, or we had an encounter with a departed relative. So that just is our resonance. And sometimes if it's a dream where the emotional content is upsetting and there's something unresolved in the case of a bad dream or a nightmare that we haven't kind of come completely to peace with or come to terms with, or we still have to work out. And then it kind of lingers until we've figured out what the message from the dream is, and then have done something active in life to heal and correct whatever the trauma or the upset was that created the upsetting dream.
You make a really good point that not all dreams are the same or have the same purpose. Mm-hmm. Could you give us a little overview of the different types of dreams and why we're having them?
All dreams in some level are digestion of what has happened to us that day, the day before, the week before. So if our dreaming parts of our brain and our psyche are working properly, we're digesting and metabolizing the things that happened in order to get a new perspective, to learn some information. So for example, when people say, let me sleep on that and come up with a new answer for something in the morning, they really do come up with a new answer in the morning, because the way our brains work literally when we're asleep is not the same as when we are awake. So different parts of our brain sort of light up or are quiet in our waking life or our sleeping life. So when we're dreaming, for example, our limbic system, which is the seat of our emotional brain, is wide awake. And our cognitive prefrontal cortex, which is more of our declarative thinking linear brain, is quieted. And the sensor in our brain that keeps us from going off on wild tangents, hopefully, in our waking life, is resting while we sleep. So we can put things together in unique and different ways in our sleeping life because we have access to different parts of ourselves.
So are you suggesting that if we say to ourselves, let me sleep on that, that that's almost like a suggestion to our unconscious to solve our problems through our dreams?
Yes. You can be very specific if you want. There's a way of doing dream work called dream incubation. And this has been around from ancient times, where you have an issue, a dilemma, a problem, a question, something you're curious about, and you want information from the deepest, highest, wisest parts of yourself and or the divine, depending on your relationship with that. And you incubate a dream before going to sleep, which means in the simplest form, you get out your dream journal, which hopefully you have, because it's much harder to remember dreams if you don't write them down when you wake. And we can talk more about that if you want. But you write down a question in your book. You can spend 1 minute, you can spend a half an hour doing a little journaling, and you're journaling with a question that's as clear as you can make it. And then when you wake, you write down the dream on the same page as your question. And somehow, whether it's immediately apparent or not, the answer to your question will be embedded in that dream. Now, you may need to peel some layers and dive into the dream to figure it out, or it might be glaringly apparent. So you can, in a sense, program yourself to get answers to questions that you have in your life.
So true. Dreams can be sometimes very literal.
Right.
And sometimes so symbolic that you just know it means something, but you don't know what it means until you actually dive in and start exploring it.
That's right.
I love to travel and I love to dream when I'm traveling. It's, you know, you're in a different place, so the energy is different. I think it was 2015, we were in Newfoundland, which is a beautiful, beautiful province in Canada. And I hadn't had a dream. It was the end of our journey. So I just asked my unconscious mind for a dream. And when I woke up in the morning, I knew I had a dream, but I couldn't remember it. And then that day, something triggered this big, long, epic dream, like a full feature movie that is actually coming true. It was very symbolic in some ways and literal in other ways. And I'm getting just now in 2022, getting towards the end of that dream. And it just boggles my mind that that much information could come true in everything in it. You know, it's amazing.
That's wonderful. So it reminds me a couple of things, Linda. One is that in our dreaming life, we are able to peek around the corners of time and space. So you had, it sounds like, a precognitive dream where some of the things are still unfolding and you're realizing what you actually pre-dreamed that is now happening in your life. Of course, if we don't remember and honor and record our dreams, we won't know if we've had a precognitive experience. So the fact that you remembered it and anchored it down in some way is really important. And then the other piece is you asked me before, what are some different things that dreams do? Well, dreams also come in layers. So the dream can simultaneously have several layers of meaning that are all true. And one of the methods of doing dream work that I put together is something based on, it's called the Pardes method. And Pardes in Hebrew is the word for orchard. So in my book, Modern Dream Work, I outline it. And then I go into more detail in my new book, PTS Dreams. And it's the way we would read the Torah if we're reading at a spiritual level. So there are four levels and each of those letters stands for something. So the P would be pshat in Hebrew, which means simple. So the first layer of the dream that you can enjoy is simply the dream itself, the story, the setting, the characters, what happens, the action. So that's like the top layer. The next layer is the remez or the hinted at layer. So at this layer, we get our first associations to the dream, like, oh yeah, this reminds me of that, or oh yeah, I know what this means. Without having to work too hard, we kind of get connections pretty quickly. The third layer that corresponds with the D in Pardes is from the word drash or lidrosh, which means to chase after or to reveal. So this is the layer where we do dream work, and we work in a variety of different ways to uncover various layers of meanings of our dream, whether we're working from a Jungian perspective or a Gestalt perspective or an embodied somatic perspective, lots and lots of different ways to work with the dream material. And then the final letter S, which corresponds to Sod, which means secret or mystical. And that's the layer of the dream that has the numinous quality to it, the mystical quality, connecting us with the divine, with departed relatives, with other times and other spaces. So at any moment in time, any dream we have, we can explore at any one or all four of those layers of meaning.
Sometimes our kind of premonition type dreams are not very comfortable. Some people might consider them to be a nightmare or have, you know, a challenging emotion attached to it. do you think these dreams are sent as warnings, trying to bring the message that something is coming to all layers of our consciousness without necessarily trying to shift it?
Over the centuries and millennium, dreams have been valued in societies as one of the highest forms of information gathering. But the shamans and the mystics in indigenous and native tribes have always elevated the strong dreamers to be the leaders of the tribe because they put so much honor and importance to it. So some dreams can come as premonitions that are meant to be heads up, watch out, pay attention, you know, take extra care, you know, get ready for this, whatever the this is. But the other dreams, the scary dreams, the difficult dreams, the nightmares we might have, whether they're single or especially if they're repetitive, I talk about those as being an SOS from our unconscious. Something is not at peace inside of us. Something has happened that we haven't sufficiently resolved or understood or come to terms with. And our system is set up. We're wired toward healing. We're wired toward moving toward wholeness and resolution and completeness. And when we're not sort of in a homeostatic, even place, our system doesn't like it and it wants to move in the direction of health and healing. So it tries to alert us in whatever way it can that something is off and you need to do something about that to get to more peace. So if you are ignoring those messages, our unconscious self and our dreaming self may actually escalate the messages from a mildly distressing dream to a very distressing dream to a nightmare to a repetitive nightmare, trying as hard as it can to get us to sort of wake up in our sleep or wake up to our sleep and do whatever it is we need to do to bring healing to the part of us that is upset.
And then once we get the message and we take, you know, appropriate action, then that repetitive dream would stop.
Yes. People ask me sometimes, how do I know if I've finished working out this issue in my life that my nightmares seem to be about? And my answer to them is, well, you'll know when your repetitive dreams about this upsetting thing either stop or they get less frequent, less intense, smaller, or change in some way so that by the end of the dream, it's no longer a nightmare. And something has shifted in a positive direction so that you have healing coming in the night rather than trauma coming in.
So how do we know if it's a warning or if it's some self-work that needs to be done?
If we have a dream about someone in our life and it seems to be warning us about something on their behalf or for them, I always say, might as well err on the side of caution and let that person know, hey, I had a dream, you know, I don't know if this is a premonition or not, but I've just figured I'd give you a heads up, you know, in my dream, you know, you were in a car accident. And so just like pay extra attention on the road, you know, over the next few days, you know, just in case. Who knows? But you might have pre-seen something and you're telling them to pay extra attention could have averted that accident. If it's something to do with ourselves, we ask ourselves a similar question. Is this dream, is there anything I'm connecting it with in my life today? Do I have any associations? Is there anything that seems to be pointing me toward in a certain direction? And if so, what is the suggestion? What is the message? What might I do more of or less of or differently? And that could be things that are very, very recent or things that are lingering from the past.
Because sometimes it could be unconscious fears that are coming to the surface and making their presence known as well. I've had a number of premonition dreams. I've had family members with premonition dreams and clients as well. And sometimes it's a little bit tricky not to get caught up in creating even more negativity around a dream and more fear. Do you have any suggestions for that, Linda?
A couple things, yes. One is there's a type of dream called a prodromal dream, which is a medical alert dream, a heads up around some thing maybe off in our body. And there've been many, many people who had a dream about something either literal or metaphorical that they've figured out and with the help of either themselves or with friends or therapists have uncovered or interpreted. And I'll say, just to be on the safe side, go to the doctor, get this checked. And I'll give you one example. There was a gentleman in one of my dream groups at one point who kept dreaming of dripping faucets. So his faucet was leaking in his kitchen and then in his bathroom. And then he tried to change the washer in another dream. And in another dream, it was more than dripping. It was kind of streaming. And he had another dream where he was worried that his bathroom was going to get flooded. Among other things, we asked him, we said, any physical plumbing problems in your body? Anything there? And he said, no, not really. Not that I can think of. But I said, you know what? Just to be on the safe side, go to a doctor. And even if they think you're a little bit crazy that this is a dream, tell me when to get your plumbing checked out. And they found early stage prostate cancer that they would never have found had he not had the dreams, paid attention to them, and followed up with a medical exam. So he was able to be treated and really had no lingering effects from it.
Now, that's a very symbolic dream, and he might have missed that had it not been for his dream circle. So how do you know that those symbols actually mean something more?
In my dream world, we don't talk about interpreting your dream or my dream. We work together to understand a dream, to peel back layers of meaning. But my job isn't to tell you what your dream is. And your job isn't to tell me what mine is. However, because two heads are better than one, or five or seven, if you have people in your circle, and because we can't see the back of our own head without a mirror, when there are several people working together, we see different aspects. It's like a prism. You know, if you turn the prism, you see the different facets and you see different colors. So we share our perspectives on other people's dreams that may give them insight that we didn't have ourselves. So I might say, if this were my dream, I might be wondering about X or Y. How would you know if that was true for you in your dream? You're going to be listening with your body to your felt sense. Eugene Gendlin wrote Focusing, a somatic style of therapeutic intervention. We were listening to the physiological and physical messages of our body and tuning into them. So the way you know if a suggestion or an idea, or to use the word an interpretation about a dream, either yours or someone else's, is right, is check in with your felt sense. Are you getting an aha feeling? Are you getting a wave of emotion? Are you getting a little tingle or a pop? If you are, then you're probably resonating with that idea. And if you're not, you can say, that's a great idea, but I'm not sure that that's true for me.
Sometimes it's a knowingness too, right?
It's that knowingness that goes beyond words.
I remember being at a weekend conference once and speaking with a woman who had this repetitive dream about her grandfather. And she said, you know, what do you think it could mean? And, you know, I just said my thoughts on it. And she broke into tears immediately. It was like she couldn't hold it back. And it seemed so obvious to me. But sometimes when you're the person dreaming, it's not so obvious.
Often that's the case. Sometimes I'll show up in my dream circle and I wouldn't have a clue. And my friends will ask me a few good questions, and it's like, oh, there it is. And when the response is a big emotional response, like this woman, like burst into tears, then you know it hit pay dirt. That's it. We joke sometimes that, okay, if I'm crying, that was the right interpretation.
Exactly. Now, what do you think about dream dictionaries?
I say take them with a very large grain of salt. Because we are living in a particular culture, and because in this era of internet and mass media, we're connected globally, we will share certain associations and certain ideas about meanings and symbols. But A, they're by no means universal. And B, all of our dream symbols are idiosyncratic to us, the dreamer. So if I dream about a cat and you dream about a cat, We could go to a dream dictionary and like look up cat, and we might get some ideas that resonate with us, but we might not. Because if your cat is a sweet, cuddly kitten playing with a ball of yarn, and my cat is a strong, powerful jaguar about ready to pounce on prey, those are two different cats. So we can't have a one size fits all with these dictionaries. And having said that, sometimes it's fun to go and look something up in case it happens to resonate for you. So if you're resonating with the meaning, I'd say go for it. But if you're not, don't think, oh, am I missing something?
And you could actually start your own dream dictionary as symbols come to you in dreams and you understand what that symbol means. That could be a message in future dreams.
That's a great, great understanding of how we develop a vocabulary of our unconscious. And you might use a particular word in your waking life, like let's say mystical, for example. And if that word shows up for you in your life, you immediately say, oh, it has to do with something in this arena or realm, so that anytime you would have that dream with that word in it, you'd know, oh, let me look over here, because it's going to be somehow connected. So we can have like a compendium of our own dream symbols and associations.
In my Huna shamanic training, we consider the unconscious to have a direct line to the higher self or the soul, so that our dream messages can come from that, you know, higher, more divine aspect, or it could be the unconscious mind that is bringing up memories or something to work on or trying to digest what's going on in our life. Is that the same position that you would take?
Easy answer, just yes.
And that we're all connected at some level too, so that sometimes I'm curious actually, you know, I've had a shamanic journey circle for many years. And at one point I had one group that we started bringing our dreams also to the journey process. And eventually there was actually a time where one person had the beginning of a dream and the second person brought the end of the dream. And it was so fascinating when people had connected dreams or the same dream.
It's a wonderful example, because when you said that we're all connected, there's a lot of truth there. And my mind went to, you know, we learned more about trees now and roots. And how, even though the trees might seem like they're separate underground, the roots are all intertwined and connected. But my experience is that when you work with people at a deep shamanic, mystical, spiritual, unconscious level, you become more and more connected. So it becomes more and more common that we dream each other's dreams or dream pieces of each other's dreams, because our spirit souls are connecting when we sleep. Without, I think, the interferences of the clock and the calendar and having to get the kids to soccer practice or making dinner or any of those things, we are able, I believe, to tap into this sort of unconscious or underground connection that we all have anyway, but without the distractions of waking busy life, they're easier to come into contact, particularly when we have a heart and soul connection with certain people that we are sitting in circles with.
And what about people who don't remember their dreams? Are they not dreaming, or are they just not remembering?
Everybody dreams every night. People ask me this all the time. Physiologically, we go through sleep cycles, and sleep cycle in which we have our deepest dreams is the REM cycle, which stands for rapid eye movement. And we all have between 5 and 7 REM cycles every night, except perhaps for those people who only sleep 5 or 6 hours a night, who I'm a little bit jealous of because I need way more than that. But they might only have 4 or 5 REM cycles. Most people have between 5 and 7 every night. And it's that they don't remember the dreams for any number of reasons.
Do you have any tips for remembering?
Yeah. The first tip is really to honor the dream. Because if it's important to us and we give it a place of honor, we're much more likely to notice it. Right? We don't notice the things that aren't important to us. So if we hold our dreams as important, that's sort of the first step. So that's number one. Number two then is dreams are very ephemeral. They're like wisps of smoke and mist, and you know, you sit up too quickly and they're just gone. So we're not going to remember most of our dreams unless we find a way to translate that ethereal from the etheric world into a more concrete world. So get a dream journal. I prefer old-fashioned. I write mine out by hand. You don't have to do that. You can type it into your phone, or you can even speak it auditorily. But if you do, I'd recommend later transcribing it, because what you get when you see and write the words is a deeper, richer layer than when you're listening and just speaking into a recorder. So those are the first two things I would do. Or if you're sleeping with someone, roll over and tell them your dream so they can be like, we joke in my family when I forget things that my husband and my daughter, I say, you're my external hard drive. Remember this for me, please. So you can use a sleeping companion as an external hard drive. Remember this till I get to my journal. But then there are additional tips and things you can do if you want to remember your dreams. And my favorite one is called positional memory, which is our body has a physiological memory to it, as well as a memory that sort of we think of more in our brain. So if you woke up and you had a dream, but you don't remember it, you know, oh, I had a dream, but I can't remember it. Turn over and put your body back in the same physical position it was when you have the dream. So if you were lying on your left side with your knees curled up, lay on your left side with knees curled up again. And just kind of do a little bit of deep breathing, sort of put yourself back into that liminal state. And very, very often your body will remember the dream for you when it's in the same position as it was before.
I had the most amazing experience just like that, Linda, where I was having this like vivid, incredible dream. And I just became just lucid enough that I realized I wasn't really comfortable. So I rolled over and the dream totally disappeared. And so I rolled back and I was right back in the dream. It was amazing.
You're a strong dreamer. That's fantastic. So you were also playing there with the whole idea of lucid dreaming, which has become very much the rage lately. And a lot of people are interested in exploring that.
Well, I think I take your number one tip to heart, that I really honor my dreams. And it's just so much fun to explore them and learn about myself through my dreams. So much fun chatting with you today, Linda. Would you like to share your information if people want to learn more about how to work with their dreams?
Oh, sure. So first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. And I have a website, Linda Yael Schiller. That would be all one word, LindaYael Schiller, SCHILLER.com. So that's my sort of generic website of all of my professional practice. And then I have two books. The first one is Modern Dreamwork. So I have a website for that book, moderndreamwork.com, and a website for my new book, which is PTS Dreams. The subtitle is Transform Your Nightmares from Trauma Through Healing Dreamwork. And that's what this book is about, really. It is working with the dreams and nightmares that are trauma-based, whether they're from our personal lives or from the world we live in, which has been, you know, pretty traumatic times in the last bunch of years. So we can have nightmares of our own life, and we can also dream on behalf of the world, for better or for worse. So we want to tune in to use our dreams, not only to heal ourselves, but to heal others and to heal the planet too. And that's what we can do when we're paying attention to those PTS dreams.
Beautiful.
And on both of those websites, there's a lot of information. There's information about how to buy the books and ways to contact me from any of those websites as well.
Thank you for the work you do, Linda.
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. And thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You'll find all of our conversations on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Come visit me at thoughtchange.com to learn what energy medicine can do for you. Pick up your copy of Learning to Listen and start developing that relationship with your unconscious mind. That's it for this week. We'll see you again next time. Bye for now.